You're listening to the Winning Mind Podcast. I am Letitia D'Souza. I am a mindset coach and business strategist who has helped more than 1,200 people change their lives, their relationships, their businesses, and just win in life. There's a myriad of reasons why we're not winning in life. Most people don't really play to win. They play not to lose. And what winning really means is becoming a better version of yourself each and every day. We can do this together. Hey, beautiful people I love. How are y'all doing? I'm really asking, like, so I can check in for real. And for those of you that have my information, you can actually let me know how you're doing. And it's really an invitation to check in with yourself, because so often we're on autopilot, going to do what we do, and not actually even taking stock of how we're actually doing. Doesn't necessarily mean that something is wrong, but you having a pulse on yourself is really, really important. Like, I know for me, I gauge me all the time, but because of the nature of the work that I do, where I'm always listening and absorbing, and what people don't realize is that coaching is an energetically draining line of work. Because when I am with someone, I have focused attention on this person, their businesses, their life, whatever else is happening for a period of time. And so I am absorbing everything that happens, not just giving, but absorbing. Most of what I do is listening, right? A good portion of it. And so you do this and you're talking to 4 or 5 different people in a day, that is energetically draining. So it's really, really important for me to keep a pulse on myself and make sure that I'm not absorbing the energy, the emotions, the perspectives of the people that I work with, so that I can, you know, just continue to create space and have space for them. Does that make sense? So I do that through my self-care, through prayer, through meditating, through exercise, just through different things so that I can make sure that I'm good. However, there are times where I get to a place of overwhelm and I didn't see it coming, right? I didn't see that it coming. Like, something affected me more than normal, and I didn't really realize it until it hit. So my whole point about checking in with yourself is just recognizing the signs of, okay, I'm not really doing okay. I'm doing good, you know, and acting accordingly. So all that to say, just to check in, because we all have a lot that is going on behind the scenes, behind our facades, behind the face that we put on for the world. And some of us are dealing with things that people have no idea that you are dealing with, right? So I just want to check in with y'all. Let's see what else. I had such a beautiful day yesterday celebrating my Asia sister graduated from Clark Atlanta University. And so celebrating her graduation. And I was just thinking how beautiful it is and how fortunate, how blessed I am that that girl is in my life. Our children, let me see, Asia and Jada are about maybe 3.5 years apart, and they share a father, and their father has not been a strong presence in either of their lives, right? But since she was about maybe 3, she was around. I would go and pick her up, or her mom would drop her off, and she would spend weekends with us. She would be in different places with us. And so I grew up just like being a bonus mom, if you will, to her. And so she came and went to Clark Atlanta University. And so a lot of times in her first year, she used to spend her weekends here and her weekends with me. And so I just feel so privileged that I could be a bonus mom, not just to her, to other people. But the beauty of it is that there has never been an issue with her mother and me. We've always gotten along just fine. And she appreciated somebody else who operated in the best interest of her child. That's real maturity, right? My daughter has bonus moms, her fiance's mom, her best friend's mom, her best friend's parents, I should say. And so I'm just very thankful to be able to be that for people, and also to have that and have had that for my daughter. And so a lot of times when children are involved, or if there's quote unquote baby daddy issue, it just breaks down and there's just so much strife. And I just love the fact that this just unfolded so beautifully that I love that girl as if I could have given birth to her. Like I love her that much. And she loves her sister and she looks up to her sister. I'm just thankful that that relationship with them is, you know, just a good thing. So anyway, I felt so privileged and blessed to just see her graduate. So at the graduation, Pinky Cole, I don't know if y'all know who that is. She's the owner of Slutty Vegan. And she was the youngest commencement speaker, but she was also a Clark Atlanta University alumni. So I thought it was a beautiful thing that she partnered with a bank and all of the graduates are being gifted an LLC. She's like, so all of y'all can leave here with a business and y'all can leave here with a plan, because when I graduated, I didn't have one. And so I love the fact that she shifted them, like, let's start thinking entrepreneurially and not just about getting a job. Nothing wrong with getting a job, but it's like, let's start thinking about what you can create just like right out of the gate. I, like, y'all know, I just really love that. And so the gist of her message was, a lot of the people were confused. She was like, I hope when y'all leave here that y'all fail often, that y'all fail a lot, but that you fail forward. They was looking like, why would she be talking about failing? Because people don't understand, like, if you fail your way forward, making mistakes is actually crucial and key to your path and to your journey. And we've always been told, like, you know, you don't have to make all of the mistakes. No, you don't have to make all of the mistakes. But there are some mistakes that are crucial for your journey and crucial for your development. I made so many costly mistakes, but y'all know what? Those mistakes are responsible for a lot of the wisdom and the insight that I have been able to give to so many people. So while they were very costly and a lot of times painful to me, I really feel like it was just a part of my path. But her acronym, excuse me, for FAIL was finding aspiration in the losses, finding aspiration in the losses. And so she was just basically saying, don't be afraid to fail. A lot of us, I put this on a post the other day, that we don't play to win. We really play not to lose. And so we've, whether we recognize it or not, we've accepted mediocrity. And I can remember one of my former pastors, he was a really great teacher, and he was breaking down mediocrity. And he was like, mediocrity is like you setting out to climb a mountain and you get halfway up the mountain. And instead of going to the top, you're content that you made it halfway up the mountain and then you go back down. He said, that's the definition of mediocrity. And I was like, damn. So when I will be going up Stone Mountain here in Georgia, I was like, I got to get to the top of this mountain, because in my mind, if I don't get to the top, I'm mediocre. So that being said, I'm always doing life audits. I feel like I'm in a space of mediocrity right now, if I'm being honest, if I choose to stay here. What do I mean by that? I've referenced this book before, and it's The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, right? But in Gay Hendricks's book, he speaks about four different zones, but the two that I'll chime in on are the zone of excellence and the zone of genius. And so he was saying that a lot of us operate in our zone of excellence. I'll tell y'all all four for frame of reference, because y'all ain't gonna get the damn book. The zone of incompetence is the first one. In this zone, you are engaging in something you just don't understand or you're not skilled at. Like, why would you do that? The zone of competence is the second one. In this zone, you're doing something that you're efficient at, but it's saturated. A lot of people are good at it. And so you don't distinguish yourself in doing this, right, in any significant way. You're just doing something. You know how some people have a job because they had to pay the bills, right? You just probably are operating in a zone of competence. The zone of excellence, right, is the one I was speaking of. This one, you are tremendously skilled at this, and you usually practice it, and kind of you get to a place of mastery, and it's established over time. So, you know, Malcolm Gladwell that speaks about this, about mastery takes about 10,000 hours a lot of times. And so you can practice and practice and practice and be great in your zone of excellence. And that's where most of us stop. However, your zone of genius is when you are tapping into your natural innate abilities, not just what you've learned, right? This is when you get into a place of flow. You know how you do something and it seems like it's timeless, like where did the time go? You can find just like inspiration and you just come up with things that are distinguished, things that are unique, things that are your unique fingerprint, and it allows you to excel in your own lane, right? So it has nothing to do, though, with your natural learned ability. And a lot of us, that is where we focus, right? So if you think about tapping into your zone of genius, you got to ask yourself stuff like, what do I do? Like, what work do I do that just doesn't seem like work? What gives me the most satisfaction and the most abundance when I'm doing something related to the amount of time that I spend doing it, right? And also you want to think about, what is your unique ability? Why is that so important? Because so many of us don't know. So where I'm going with that is just like, I was talking to my son about this as I pivoted, as I shift, right? I'm good at a lot of things. I have a lot of things in under my belt in my zone of excellence. But my zone of genius, when I tap into matters of the heart, matters of the mind, I can stay in that space and I can flow in that space and it is effortless. I can talk about this stuff endlessly. That is why, if you think about it, when I do these podcasts, I just press record and I start talking and I'm never at a loss for words. Now, sometimes before I start recording the podcast, I'm like, oh shit, what in the world am I going to talk about? But as soon as I open my mouth and start talking, guess what? It just starts to flow because I can tap into my zone of genius there. I'm tapping into an innate ability. Nobody is some people say, nobody learned me this. Nobody taught me these things, so to speak, but I can just pull from the reservoir of brilliance and ancient wisdom and all of those things that exist inside of me. And I can speak for 30 minutes at a time. And it feels like it makes no sense to me and like I'm just rambling. And then it can come out and it can be something cohesive that can help the masses. That is what I mean by zone of genius. Zone of genius, though, can be really, really scary. Let me tell you, because the reasoning mind is going to be like, you out of your damn mind. And I'm like, no, I'm out of yours, right? So there's this battle between the reasoning mind and the place of flow. So, for example, y'all, I used to be in ministry leadership. I remember the times when I had to speak. And so I'm always studying something, right? So it's not that I wasn't prepared, but let me tell y'all where I struggle. I struggle when I'm trying to put together like outlines and here's what I'm going to say here. And okay, this needs to go on a PowerPoint. That is such a struggle for me because that is not the way I flow. I can see a talking point and I can talk on end about a talking point, but the reasoning mind would tell me that if you do this, you are not prepared, right? So one day I had to give a presentation at church about finances and money. And I had it all written down. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. And when they called me up, I made it up to the, the podium. And do y'all know what? I done left the damn notes at my seat. And I was just, I had the realization when I got up there and I was like, oh boy, what am I going to do now? And so me being me, I'm just going to be honest. And I said, hey, you know, I had this beautifully written and eloquent thing that I was going to say with all of these beautiful points. And I left it at my seat. So listen, I'm just going to speak from the heart. And guess what? I flowed and it was so beautiful, so eloquent. And it just came together so beautifully. But that was the beginning of me understanding that there is something that works in me that is beyond anything that I've learned. That is, there is something that is an innate ability in me, something that was given to me by my guy God, something that is a part of my spiritual DNA, something that nobody can teach me. And so since nobody can teach me this, nobody can take it from me. Everybody has that, but few of us tap into it.
we spend our time trying to learn and try to cultivate like our natural abilities. Nothing is wrong with that. It's just not going to bring you to your zone of genius. The zone of genius is scary because I'm just like, every single time the producer of the podcast, he would be in there with me. He'd be like, what are we talking about today? And I'd be like, well, your guess is as good as mine. I'm not going to know until I start speaking. And instead of looking at that as a bad thing, it is a beautiful thing. It is requiring trust. It is requiring self-trust. And it is also saying, I know you got this. Like, I'm so serious. So my point is, as I pivot, I was telling my son, I desire to go in the direction of my genius. My genius, listen, even though I do both mindset and business coaching for entrepreneurs, do y'all know that I would say probably one out of every 10 clients is actual business coaching. The rest of my clients, we are dealing with matters of the mind, mindset, mental conditioning, childhood trauma that is showing up in our adult lives, matters of the heart, and all of those things are presenting themselves in business in some way, right? So my coaching, even though here's what I tried to do from a zone of excellence. Let me structure this. One of my clients, when she hears this, she's gonna laugh. I'm like, okay, this week is gonna be mindset. This week is gonna be marketing. This week is gonna be metrics. And the next one is just gonna be miscellaneous. We got through two of those weeks. And then guess what? Something happened that's like, I have a personal thing that I need to discuss. This is what's going on. And so even when I tried to structure it, it doesn't remain structured because that is not the way that it works within my business. So for me to keep trying to do that, I'm going to go against the flow of operating in my zone of genius. Another part of my zone of genius, guys, is that I can take it as it comes. If you give it to me, I can flow with it as it comes. And so I can be spontaneous. I can tap in, and trusting myself to do that is my zone of genius. Now, I'm trying to tell you this because I know we have a way, like this is the way they say, still don't know who the fuck they are. This is the way they say we're supposed to do it. The Coaches Federation says the best coaches do it this way. Nobody can teach me what has been innately placed in me, right? This is not my career. This is my calling. I was born for this shit. Do you understand what I'm saying? So how about doing what another podcast is like, tapping into yourself and tapping into the thing that you were born to do. And that moves you to your zone of genius. Nobody can do this the way that you do it. I don't care if it's, you know, there's a gazillion coaches. There's a gazillion. I don't care what kind of coach you call yourself. You cannot do the thing that I do in my zone of genius the way that I do it, and vice versa. Vice versa. So in essence, guys, we are settling for mediocrity when we settle for the zone of excellence and anything under it. Nothing wrong with that if you choose to do it. Just understand that you are not going to access your highest potential. Listen, let me tell y'all something that I used to hate to admit. I love crises, just not mine. Let's be clear. You got to watch your words. I love crises. When somebody calls me and they have a crisis situation, man, everything in me comes to life because I'm into it, right? My cousin used to be like, you are like Olivia Pope for the heart, right? I'm just like, bring it. I love crises. I love them. Bring it. Let's get into it because I know that there is a way out and I love the journey and I love the challenge of that. And I used to be like, who the hell would actually admit that? Me? Because here's what's happening. Everybody getting that bag. Everybody making a lot of money. People can't sleep at night. People can't stand the person that they land next to in the bed. They sleeping with the enemy. People have really messed up relationships with their children. And they have all of this inner turbulence, but they get in the bag and it looks real good. Like, I love situations like that. I love situations like that. And it took a lot of realization. Listen, every place where I used to go, people didn't know what to do with me. I remember one of the churches that I was a part of, they were like, we're gonna ordain you as a leader of work. Of what? Just as a leader. Every other leader had a specialty in area. They didn't know what to do with me. Then I went to another church and they're like, I think probably 3 weeks in, they're like, right, you need to be a part of our leadership team. To lead what and who? we don't exactly know, but we just know that we need your wisdom and we need your leadership. So they're calling me to go do this and put out a fire here. And I felt like, this feels so all over the place. Wisdom can be largely applied to many areas. This is what I'm telling y'all, understanding your zone of genius. I don't just do one thing, because the wisdom, yes, there's learned wisdom from life's experience, but I have a mantle of wisdom that has been given to me by God that I can access spiritual wisdom and make it practically applicable. Do y'all hear the excitement in me? But here's the thing about your zone of genius. You don't have to be passionate about it. I wasn't passionate about this shit for a long time because it felt very uncomfortable for me. It felt very like it was stretching me. It felt like I was out of my mind because I couldn't, there was no rhyme or reason for how it showed up. And it was unpredictable for me, right? And so I felt out of control. So the best way I can tap into it is surrender into it and to trust that, God, you put this in me. And so as I tap into it, as I surrender into it, and as I trust you, that the situations, the people who need it, everything that needs to come forth from me, it's going to come forth. It'll come forth in a timely way. It'll come forth in an eloquent way because I'm just surrendered into it. I don't need to be in control of it. But it has nothing to do with what you're passionate about. Nothing to do with what you're passionate about at all. So don't think that just because, in fact, it might, this is the thing that I've tried to avoid for the longest. I've tried to be like, let me do this or let me do that because I want to be in something that was more predictable, something more of the zone of excellence. I'm just saying, but that's mediocrity for me. So all that to say, you know, T.I. said it best, like, I don't want no mediocre. I don't want no damn mediocre. And so that means I'm being stretched. I'm being invited. I'm being, you know, listen, I'm excited about it, though. Now that the more I think about it, it's just like, who needs control? So where is your zone of genius? How are you going to tap in and find your zone of genius? So I have a client. She's an attorney. And she was practicing, you know, in her law firm. And it was just like a drain for her. And she's just doing it. And then something happened where she may have had to like close the firm or whatever, like some things happened. And I was just like, what is this what you're really like supposed to be doing? And she's all her degrees and all of everything. She's in a zone of excellence. But what she does naturally, what is natural for her, is she was really into yoga. Like, she was really into yoga. She was really into wellness. She was really into all of these things. And so, but she was afraid to let go of who people knew her as this attorney, right? To really go into more wellness. And she rebranded herself, and she is so happy. She is so content. I mean, she's doing all kind of Reiki healing and all kind of other stuff, and she's just putting it out there. And it was such a challenge for her to let go of the opinions of other people and to divorce herself from the quote unquote brand and the image and the expectations that people have for her. And I know the challenge that it was for her because I was a part of encouraging her. Girl, do it. If this is what makes your soul sing for real, and this is your innate ability, go for it, right? She happens to be passionate about it, and now she is doing it. Like, I just love to see it. And I don't know if it makes as much money as her law firm right now. I don't know, right? Because we're no longer coaching with one another. But she sent a message the other day, and I made a comment on a post, and she was like, you don't realize how instrumental you have been in my life to help me do this, right? My zone of genius helped her get into her zone of genius. How beautiful is that? If I just stayed in my zone of excellence as a coach, I would have been like, this don't make no damn sense that you're going to go from this to this, right? And do X, Y, or Z. Let's look at the numbers. Let's look at this. I tapped into my zone of genius, and she got the courage, the inspiration to tap into her zone of genius. So your zone of genius, whatever you do, even if it's your zone of excellence, is not just about you. It's not. And so These are the in my work. There's a lot of intangibles in my work. There's a lot of intangibles when I'm in my zone of genius that I can shift somebody's soul through words. My clients always be like, you got bars, right? I can shift somebody's soul, shift somebody where they are energetically through something that I'm saying, something that just came from me and I just give it to them. And we can't track that on a balance sheet. We can't track that on like anything that is measurable. So a lot of my work, my zone of genius is intangible. So I'm like, how as a coach can I sell intangibles, right? When everything else is so results driven. You see how these challenges come up? Listen, if God put it in me and I'm willing to surrender and allow it to come out of me, then God, this is above me now. I need your wisdom to show me how to do this, to bring the people to me that need this, right? I need your wisdom to do this because in and of myself, I don't know, but I'm willing to serve your people in a way that is uncomfortable. I'm willing to allow the zone of genius to flow through me and to tap in and to go beyond myself, right? To go beyond even what I thought I could go beyond, to tap into things that scare even me because it's so beautiful and it comes from you, right? So I'm willing to do that. So I don't have all the answers. I don't need to have all the answers is what I'm saying. This when I told y'all I had a rough week earlier, I don't know if I said that on this podcast or another one. This is what made the week rough is like wanting to resist this gentle nudging, wanting to resist this invitation, wanting to not look at the writing on the wall when I see it very, very clearly, right? And every time, I'm telling y'all, every time I pivot, every time I surrender into what feels like it's beckoning me and calling me, it is always so, so beautiful. It's not always beautiful on the journey because, you know, it's almost like when the airplane takes off and sometimes you it's a little bumpy when it's taking off and when it's landing because when it's taking off, you're trying to get to your flying. What do you call that? The height that you're going to fly. And so sometimes it's not always smooth when you take off, right? Until you get to that space where you're kind of coasting in it. Don't allow the bumps in the road, though, to be a deterrent. Don't allow the difficulties to be a deterrent. Don't allow the challenges to be a deterrent because it's just all something that's temporary. You, my friend, are a genius. You have genius that is living in you. You have genius that is unlike anything that anybody else has on the inside of them. It doesn't mean that your genius comes out in entrepreneurship. It could be in your work. It could be in the way that you parent. It could be in the way that you cook. Like, I don't know what your genius is, but it's something beautiful. It's something that the world needs. And it's also, I think, a key to your ultimate fulfillment. If you're doing something and you don't feel fulfilled in it, or you no longer feel fulfilled in it, that's indicative, I think, that there's an invitation for more. There's more. There's always more. And sometimes we just settle at what's good. Sometimes we settle at this worked. I just know that the call on my life is a call that requires progression. It's a call that requires inner progression and movement. It's a call that requires me to not rest on my laurels and get comfortable in certain spaces because there's always going to be more. And that was prophesied to me and I cried about it like, God, I don't want this. Why me? And it's like, why not me? I'm into it, right? Why not me? Who better to have this mentor? Who better to have this call? We all have our own individual things. And so now it's just like surrendering to a greater part of this. So my fellow geniuses, I just encourage you to tap in and find your area of genius. It might exist concurrently with what you do in your zone of excellence, but let's not leave out the zone of genius because of our lack of knowledge or because it's uncomfortable or because we just don't know, right? I love each and every one of you. Have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.